We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different. This is Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky trying to get a hold of the microphone here as I just realized it's time to start the show. And I'm from St. Paul's in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity in Darmstadt, Illinois. And I have with me, as always, my co-host,
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Missouri, where we are still cleaning up after the live nativity. Those animals did not clean up after themselves.
You should have asked for that. Ask for it. Next time you get the self-cleaning animals. I could have told you about that.
You know, at least the lawn is fertilized, ready to go for the spring. That's taken care of.
And this is, again, this is our family December, and so we had so much fun with my wife last week. We've invited her back. And so introduce yourself, please.
I'm Lynn Lukowski, principal of Emmanuel Lutheran School in Oakville, Illinois.
And, of course, she didn't have to skip today because they're on Christmas vacation. And, by the way, sweetheart, thank you. Thank you for that Christmas gift. That's exactly what I wanted. How did you know that?
Oh, it's not difficult to figure out what you want.
Well, thank you, sweetheart. And I hope you... Did you get a lot of nice Christmas gifts, too?
Oh, it was fantastic.
Of course, we're laughing because this is actually, what, December the 12th or something. I can't remember what the date
is. It's 65 degrees on December the 12th. We're recording this Christmas episode.
That's right. So,
eight.
The 8th. It is December the 8th.
That's what
it is.
Wow.
It just keeps getting earlier and earlier. But we hope that everyone else did have a very, very blessed Christmas, because that's when you're hearing it, the day after Christmas. In fact, what are you doing on the day after Christmas, Matt? Can you see into the future?
I see myself going to worship in the evening.
Okay.
So this is kind of a marathon for a lot of pastors. We have Christmas Eve Thursday, then Christmas Day Friday, then we have worship Saturday, and then Sunday morning, too.
Now you're making me feel guilty because we're not doing a Christmas Day service precisely because I said, we got church on Saturday and Sunday. What do we need church on Friday for? Okay. Oh, sorry.
Boy. I tell you, some pastor.
Hold on. How many services are you doing Christmas Eve?
Three.
Oh, gee, you beat me out on that one, Lynn. I'm only doing two. I thought that was plenty, and he's doing three. Okay.
Oh, boy. And you've even got two churches. What's going on here?
That's right. So are you guys going away, doing anything over the Christmas vacation?
You know, we're just staying put. We're just blessed to have my side of the family and Lisa's side of the family are both here in the St. Louis area. So they're local. So we're just going to spend time with family and have some downtime, too.
It's fun. It is kind of nice. Because, like you said, it's really, really hectic for us as pastors before Christmas. But then there's usually just a little bit of breather there because everyone kind of knows that we've been putting in a lot of time and hours, and I think they kind of let us get a little rest. We're actually going to do our rest up in Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, talk about 65 degrees.
Woo,
yeah,
we're
going up there,
there
for the pretty weather up there, and we'll get to see snow.
A white Christmas.
A white Christmas. And we want to continue the Christmas story, and we might give you, I don't know, we've never done it before. This would be the first time in the history of Wrestling Basics. We might share with you just a little bit of the jalapeno course at the end again. Can
twice?
We do that? I know.
We did it
twice.
Last Saturday.
I know, but can we do it? That's a great break with tradition from us. It's always been just one time and one time only.
Oh, boy. You can never have too much jalapeno course.
I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see.
Might give you indigestion, though. Too much jalapeno course.
So, what are we doing? We're in Luke now?
We're in Luke chapter 2.
Yeah, that Matthew story. That was kind of rude. I don't know if I want to do that Christmas story again.
So, now we have
adultery,
the...
Adultery, sinners, murder.
We have the... See, Peanuts didn't come up with this story, Luke chapter 2. No, they got it from the Holy Scriptures when Linus goes on about the Christmas account. We should play our sound effect. We get to do that maybe once a year. Linus saying...
Okay.
Yeah.
Here, hold on.
This is special. We have our sound effects board here. All right, here.
This one?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't there anyone
who knows what Christmas is all about?
There we go.
Thank you. We get these there once a year, Charlie Brown, so we might as well milk it, right?
Yeah. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to tell people what Christmas
is all about.
So Luke chapter 2, I can't find it. Is it in my Bible? Oh, there it is. Thank Lynn's got it for me. Thank you, sweetheart. Well, I tell you what, Lynn, you want to start reading? We'll let the woman read. Here, go ahead. The wife.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
All right, Matt. So how many years you been a pastor now, Matt?
Let's see here. 8 years.
8 years. Okay. I've been. This is my 37th time.
You got me deep.
Christmas. Well, as I say, wait till you get to the 37. You'll be skipping Christmas services too. You get tired. It gets hard work.
Yeah, we did this last year.
Every year. But what do you think? What do you think, Matt? For your experience in 8 years, what is it that strikes you about this classic story about the Caesar Augustus and the babe being wrapped in swaddling clothes and all
there's
that.
There's so many things that could be talked
there
about.
Is.
I think one thing though is just as Lynn was reading, I was just thinking, well, how brief that is. What is it? It's just seven verses.
Yep.
But in those seven verses are so many things that could be talked about, so many things that have been preached on down through the years. And it's really the culmination of all of those many promises from the Old Testament, from Isaiah and Micah and all those other places of where the child should be born and who born to.
Oh, yeah.
And those
yeah.
circumstances surrounding his birth. And here it is in just seven verses. Just think of all the many prophecies fulfilled just in this brief text that we just heard. All of this coming to pass. Finally. So a lot is said in just a few verses, enough to preach on for 38 years, I suppose, even.
Yeah.
Wow. Here it is. It all comes together. God is faithful. He's kept his promise, perhaps in a way that people didn't expect, but here it is. And if they've been listening to the Old Testament scriptures, no surprise, right? Here it is. This is the fulfillment.
So for Matt, it's the fulfillment of all the things that were promised in the Old Testament. Lynn, what are these verses? What strikes you about these verses?
Oh, I'll pass on that for right now.
Okay, but you'll contemplate it. Back to us. Okay.
Yeah.
The things I like, Matt, is all the historical detail. Caesar Augustus, the registration when Quirinius was governor. The world being taxed, which we all know from Roman records, all of this is historically accurate. Luke loves to do that, remind us that this is not a myth. It's not some fairy tale thing that Charles Schulz adapted into his cartoon, but this is actually all. You look like you got something, Lynn? Okay, she does.
I think there's plenty of things here to be talking about. The very fact that the government had to be involved in the birth because they told him where to go. And, of course, that fulfills a prophecy. And then the fact that it was her firstborn, not her secondborn, but her firstborn, which...
You're really going to work that ever virgin thing that you don't like that. You think there had to be other kids. Huh? Is that what you're... Okay, all right, go ahead.
That's exactly what I was saying. And he was laid in a manger. He was never born there. Okay? I know people like to say he was born in a manger, but that's not true.
Yes, these are Lynn's two Christmas quirks. First of all, it's magi, not magi. And number two, he was not born in a manger. That's right.
After giving birth to five children, I can guarantee you he was not born in
that manger.
Anything else? Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay. The other thing that I like about this whole business, though, is how frustrating it must have been for Mary. Because, you've had an angel come to you and say, hey, guess what? You're going to be the mother of the Son of God. You'll be the most blessed woman of all women in history, favorite of the Lord. And so I'm thinking she's figuring, well, I got it made. This is like being queen for a day, which that dates me. I don't probably most people don't even remember the show Queen for a Day. And instead of having everything go the way you want it, when you're 9 months pregnant, all of a sudden you've got to pack up your bags, make a, this is probably a three-day journey that they're making from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And as you pointed out, Lynn, they're not doing it because they want to, but because they've been obligated to by the civil government. You know, that's the way the government is. They always come in and start throwing their weight around. And then when they get there, there's no place for them to spend the night. And of course, my story has always been, I bet Joseph got an earful. Why didn't you make reservations? I told you to call ahead. How often I've heard that, Matt. Put that frying pan down, Lynn. That rolling pin, too. But this is still all the plan of God. And that's what I love about this story, because this Christmas isn't going to work out. It probably didn't work out the way a lot of people thought it was going to work out. But that's okay. It's still the birth of Jesus, the one who came to save us from the sins. So whether the baby ends up in a palace, which is where you would expect that child of God, the Son of God, to be born, or he's just humbly laid in a manger, not born, but laid, that's still good news. It's still good news. Anything else you guys want to add about it? Because I do have one other thought, but anything else you want to
add? Just elaborate on the decree being issued by Caesar himself.
Yep.
I mean, one, it just happens in a historic context. Like you point out, it's not some fairy tale. This is the real deal. But then two, how God works through even a pagan government like to bring about his will. He works through even a Caesar in the Roman Empire to still bring about his will, to bring that Savior into the world. So just a reminder that this is the King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords. God is over all. This is the Savior of the nations. And he can even work through a guy like Caesar Augustus to bring to fulfill his promises.
And that's an important point for us to remember. You don't have a choice whether you're going to work for God or not. You will work for God. He will use you. That's not an option. The question is will you work for him like some dumb animal that just does what it has to do because it's been told and being directed and manipulated? Or will you work for him as one who is his beloved child and do so in faith and in a heart that's been changed in us with willingness? But no. The Christian teaching is everybody serves God. That's not an option. It's just a matter of whether you'll serve him in faith or not. Here's the other thing that I really like about this, the wrapped in swaddling clothes. And I like it, Matt, because I didn't actually learn it until I think I'd been in the ministry for 30-some years. Do you know what the significance of the swaddling clothes is?
Sure, but the safety it provides there, the wrapped up little baby?
Well, it goes back to an Old Testament prophecy again, where it talked about Israel not being swaddled. They were born and just left abandoned. And so the symbolism of swaddling is that you're not abandoned. Someone is watching over you and caring for you. If an outsider had looked in and seen that babe in a manger, they might have concluded, oh, that poor baby, it's been left, it's been abandoned. Because this isn't where you would expect to find a baby in a manger. It'd be like finding it next to a dumpster or something like that. But the presence of the swaddling clothes, even if you didn't see Mary and Joseph hovering over the child, but the presence of the swaddling clothes would tell you, no, that baby's cared for. Someone loves that baby. That baby was not abandoned. And to me, what I love about that image is there's a lot of times when we feel like we're lying in a manger. What are we doing here? We don't belong here. This is not where we should be. But I'm just telling you, you keep listening to the word of God. And even when you find yourself in circumstances where you don't feel you should be because of the struggles and trials like Mary faced and Joseph faced, no, you look, the word is there, the evidence is there. You're still God's beloved child. The swaddling clothes, and we see that in the word. That's the only way we can see that. You can't see it in what you're experiencing around you. Mary and Joseph certainly must have thought, where's God at? Why did we end up here in a stable? But no, the evidence is that we're still God's beloved children. Well, anyway, that was my thought.
Speaking of swaddling clothes, I mean, I think it was Luther said something along the lines that the scriptures were the swaddling clothes in which the child was wrapped. This idea that Jesus is at the center of the scriptures, Old and New Testament. He's there. That's more figurative use of that swaddling clause, but I think that's a neat point too.
And it fits in with what my thought is too. So we need to see that the scriptures are our swaddling clothes as well too. They're the thing that reminds us that we are the beloved children of God. Okay, so don't judge by the circumstances around you, but judge by what the word of God has testified to you. Shall we read on? Lynn, you want to read about the shepherds?
Oh, sure. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased.
Sorry. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? Okay.
I just had to do it one more time.
You.
Yeah, well, that's Lynn added a word. What did you add?
I said, well, please. It's pleased here.
Okay. All right. So Lynn was trying to make some editorial changes to the scripture, but she confessed it. Yep. But again, so what do you think? What's this all about? What are we supposed to bring home from all of these business about angels and shepherds? And you were a shepherd. Tell us firsthand. You were there. You were a shepherd.
Oh, yeah, in the live nativity. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Let me tell you, being a shepherd, from my experience, 1 hour standing outside in South St. Louis City. No. I mean, the remarkable thing is, you know, I think sometimes this becomes so familiar perhaps to us. We have our nativity scenes and live nativities or nativity scenes made of statues, and of course we place the shepherds there, and rightly so. But sometimes I think this just becomes so routine that we overlook the significance of it. That these were shepherds who were smelly shepherds who were on the fields at night. Yeah, unclean shepherds.
We're going to get letters from shepherds now. All right.
So, you know, these are, again, the people you would probably least expect to be the ones to receive a message from these angels directly. The first ones to hear the good news that the Savior is born. But yet here it is. This is who God chooses. It kind of reminds you of the words of Magnificat in some ways, how, you know, Mary sings about how God lifts up the poor and the lowly. Yeah. And here he does this even at the Savior's birth. The shepherds, people we would never expect to be the first ones to hear this great news that's been waited for centuries, they get to hear it. And in some ways, it sets the tone for Jesus' whole ministry, how he cares for the least and the lost and the lowly, beginning here even with the shepherds.
And that's the pattern. Like you said, that's the pattern of the Magnificat. That's the pattern throughout Jesus' ministry. Lynn, anything else you want to add?
Well, I was just looking at the fact that the glory of the Lord shone around them and they were filled with fear. And, you know, even in the Old Testament, the glory of the Lord did invoke fear. But the very next emotion that's brought up is joy. So even amongst fear, we can feel great joy. And I don't know what this glory of the Lord looked like, but it must have been very awesome.
And you know what I like, though, is what happens next. So let's keep on reading. Let's keep on reading. Lynn, you want to continue?
Okay. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the good shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
And the thing that I always find remarkable is, as you said, Lynn, they've seen a host of angels. They've seen the glory of the Lord, and yet they want evidence. Okay. But I like that because it goes back to what we were talking about last week. You know, you had mentioned that Paul says that just because an angel comes and speaks to you, you know, if it preaches a different gospel, then let it be anathema. I was thinking of the other Pauline statement that the angel of darkness can take on the form of an angel of light. So I like these guys. They're good, conservative. We ain't going to believe even a host of angels, even the glory of God shining on us isn't enough. We want some concrete evidence. Let's go and see if this is true. Let's see if there really is a babe lying in a manger. And indeed, the angels invited him to check it out, didn't they? Because they said, that's the sign. That's how you're going to know that this really is true, that it's not just that you're having some dream or that it's something you ate or something like that. But no, because this is, you're going to see this evidence, a babe lying where a babe shouldn't be. But he is, and he is there for your sakes, for your faith. Matt, where would you go from here?
Well, verse 17, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And then verse 20, the shepherds returned glorifying, praising God for all that they had heard and seen it as it had been told them. And I just pray that for myself, for our listeners, as this Christmas here over the airwaves, we hear about the birth of Jesus Christ as we come to worship and see and hear him in worship, that we too would leave glorifying and praising God, that we too would make known what we had seen and heard, so that others would, because of our witness, would also wonder at what we have to say, so that we would have that opportunity to tell them more, to bear witness to this Christ child who was born for the shepherds that night, but also born for us today, born for the world.
And you know what I think is neat about that is the other detail, that this glorifying and praising God is done as they return. Yeah, so they didn't go off to, be on the talk show circuit. They didn't go off and write a book. They were shepherds, and shepherds need to take care of sheep, and sheep need to be taken care of. But it was within the context of that normal, everyday behavior that everything was different now, and they had this great praise and this great wonder.
Great point. And so as we return back to our jobs, to our vocations, following this Christmas break, maybe come Monday morning, it's back at it, but we return doing what the shepherds did, sharing that good news, glorifying and praising God.
And Lynn, any thoughts you want to add?
Well, you've missed Mary altogether in your discussion here.
Of course, it's a couple of men talking about it. So what would you like to put in? What good word would you like to put in for Mary?
Well, she's a typical mother. She treasures everything about this child, and she ponders everything about this child, and she keeps it in her heart. It's better than a baby book at this point, because it's so sharp in her mind. She's not going to let it go. And I think all mothers have those moments when they look at their child and they go, wow, look at this. This is a treasure. This is a wonder. And I think that's wonderful that she's a typical mother, pondering and treasuring.
Yeah, and I think that if as many think, and myself included, that Luke, as he writes this gospel, probably interviews, consults, talks with Mary.
Yeah.
Here she is because, like you point out, Lynn, she's pondered all these things in her heart. She's able to give us all these marvelous details about the birth of her son, the Savior.
And I've always liked the pondering thing there, because it did not go probably the way Mary had pictured it.
Yeah.
I doubt that she ever, well, she knew she was going to Bethlehem. That's that's the thing I always thought. You know, when she had to make that journey, that was a long journey, 3 days, uphill,
and
literally uphill.
There's no donkey mentioned here.
Yeah, that's right.
She might have walked the whole thing.
Probably did. And yet I think that was a comfort that, okay, going to Bethlehem, that is what the prophet said. So this is going according to the word of God. But there is no word of God about having a stable or laying the child in a manger. And I'm sure that must have caused her all kinds. And then shepherds bursting in. I can remember when we had our kids, we just wanted a little peace and quiet. Let's be together with the baby.
For the last thing you want are shepherds barking.
Yeah, especially smelly shepherds, as you pointed out. Gee, I tell you what, we're going to get the mail from the shepherds, man. So I love that pondering, that it wasn't always just exactly how she thought it was going to be. But I believe that the Holy Spirit is working that pondering, that reminded her, yeah, but this is everything God said it was going to be. And this is also then the Jesus. This is the one that's going to save you and Joseph and shepherds and everybody in the world, which, of course, is why we want to get that message out to everybody. All right. And an unprecedented event. We're going to play a little bit of the Jalapeno Chorus as we go out here on our second Christmas episode. That's all you're getting. But we do hope and pray that everybody had a very blessed Christmas. And Matt and Lynn, so glad to be able to be with you on this day after Christmas. Any last words you want to say, Lynn?
Goodbye. It was nice to be with you.
And Matt?
Merry Christmas and a very, very happy new year to you all.